Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to the Michael Cutler Hour. I am your host, Michael Cutler. It's December 19th, 2014, just days away from Christmas. Just a few more days after that, of course, comes New Year's. The year has flown by, and what a tumultuous year it has been. I thank you for joining me this evening. It's always great to get together with you at the end of the week to play that inevitable game of catch-up, and there's so much to catch up on. Those of you who are familiar with me know that I'm a retired senior special agent with the former Immigration and Naturalization Service. Spent 30 years of my adult life enforcing our immigration laws that have been made a mock, that have been mocked not only by this administration, let's be honest, by a succession of administrations which have gotten us into many of the problems that we now have. You know, I always make the point that our immigration laws are not, or the immigration issue is not a singular issue, it's not a single issue, but a singular issue, if I could get the words out, because of the profound impact that the immigration system has on so many of the challenges and threats that America and Americans face today. I've been at it for a very long time, and it just seems that when you think you've seen it all and heard it all, we have a new surprise. We have a new problem. And these problems are solvable if, and here's the big word, if our leaders, if this administration, if members of Congress from both parties really wanted to solve the problem. Clearly, they don't. I mean, look, let's face it, there are some stalwart politicians who understand the significance of our borders, our immigration laws, and they are fighting a desperate battle to protect us. The rest of these characters, I have to tell you, it is disgusting what we're witnessing. And today we're going to focus on that. I want you to consider some articles that I've written for a couple of organizations. But before we do that and I start talking about organizations, let me give you some websites I'd very much like for you to visit, perhaps check out on a regular basis. My own personal website, michaelcutler.net, one word, C-U-T-L-E-R, michaelcutler.net. I'm also a senior fellow for a terrific organization known as CAPS, C-A-P-S, Californians for Population Stabilization. They do an amazing job of trying to alert people about the dangers that we face because our borders are anything but secure. It's not just about California, folks. It's truly about our whole country. As California goes, so goes America. But in any event, Californians for Population Stabilization, located in beautiful downtown Santa Barbara, California, their website, capsweb.org, C-A-P-S. Also, I have an article in the current edition of The Social Contract, which is a quarterly magazine published online as well as on paper. And the winter edition that will be coming up shortly, I have an article in the winter edition as well. So please check out The Social Contract. Additionally, by the way, before we go any further, let me tell you, the most recent article that I have published is with Californians for Population Stabilization. And usually I blog for them. And those of you familiar with blogging know that it's usually 750, maybe 1,000 words. We try to keep it short and sweet. But I looked at what this president is doing with executive action. I look at the overall crisis that we are facing, whether it's unemployment, whether it's the economy, whether it's national security, whether it's crime. And I decided that I would write an extensive, lengthy, in-depth article. It runs between 4,000 and 5,000 words, not what I usually produce for them, but I just felt so strongly about what this administration is doing that I decided to go forward with this, and they were kind enough to publish, pardon me, what I wrote in its entirety on the capsweb.org website, their blog portion. If you go to my name, it's actually on the front page right now of the website. But over time, it will go from there back to the listing of all the articles. But the title of it should say it all. Obama's gift, and I put the word gift in parenthesis or in quotation marks, rather. Obama's gift to international terrorists immigration executive action. And I know it's a strong statement, but it's not an overreaction. This goes hand in glove with something that I wrote for the Washington Times back in 2007 when I had testified before three House hearings and one Senate hearing on comprehensive reform, and I gave it a new name. I called comprehensive immigration reform by the name that I thought was far more accurate and descriptive. I called it the Terrorist Assistance and Facilitation Act. And it's not about being mean-spirited, and it's not about being xenophobic. It's not about being a nativist. None of the above. None of the above. You know, it's remarkable. Edward Snowden. I don't know where you folks stand on Edward Snowden, but I'll tell you where I stand. The issues that he raised about the NSA should give everybody some cause for pause. But on the other hand, he's certainly no hero. In my book, anybody who could go to Russia, bring with them God knows what documents, which is what we're seeing in the public media. Very disturbing. This is not what you do as a whistleblower. There are ways of trying to right the wrongs. I believe Snowden found the wrong way to do it. But what was so remarkable was right after this whole thing about Snowden started to come out, and right after that whole deal with the Navy Yard shooter in Washington came out, the questions that were being asked by the president, by members of Congress, both parties, how did they vet these people? How do they give them a security clearance? How on earth do you give these people the ability to get onto military bases, access sensitive computers? And so it came back to this business about the vetting process. How were they screened? Now, you should know that they both were subjected to interviews. You should know that Obama's Dreamers, this deferred action, supposed childhood arrival program, does not involve face-to-face interviews nor field investigations. But what's so amazing, folks, is that even as the president, even as members of Congress, House, Senate, both parties, were jumping up and down and saying, how in the world did they do their background investigations, many of these very same people have favored very publicly and very adamantly comprehensive immigration reform. So even if you think comprehensive reform is a good idea and they think it's a dreadfully bad idea, I don't see any upside to it, I got to tell you. It's bad news, worse news, and unbelievably worse news. I mean, that's kind of where we are with this. But for the sake of argument, let's pretend that this is a great idea. How in the world do you administer a program where suddenly millions of aliens who snuck into the country would be provided with identity documents without so much as a face-to-face interview? And certainly forget about any kind of routine or regular or sporadic even field investigations. What will happen is these folks, and we're seeing it with DACA, the Deferred Action Childhood Arrival, the Dreamers, they fill out an application, they put their name on the application that they want us to believe is their name. They may furnish some supporting documents, rent receipts, utility bills, whatever, easy to come by. There's document vendors who crank out phony documents of extremely high quality. You know, with desktop publishing these days, it's not that hard to crank out a rent receipt or a utility bill or get one from somebody else and say, that's me. So what we're going to wind up doing, what they have been doing so far, is giving people identity documents within hours of the approval of an application. They're immediately eligible to get a Social Security card, driver's licenses, credit cards, move freely around the United States, get a job that even if it didn't have national security implications, might well have critical infrastructure implications. How does that make us safe? How on earth does this make any sense? This violates the findings and recommendations of the 9/11 Commission. You know, this is an old song. I sing it almost every week. But I keep repeating it because I want everybody to understand what's going on. So this idea that we're going to take millions of people and we're told they're undocumented, well, undocumented is worrying enough. It means that they either don't have or don't want you to see their official identity documents. Not a good situation. But these folks are also uninspected. In fact, as an immigration agent, pardon me, boy, I can't get rid of this little frog here. As an immigration agent, an alien who ran the border, who evaded the inspectors at a port of entry, who were there to protect us. That alien was said to be an EWI, E-W-I, is a bit of jargon for you. EWI stands for Entry Without Inspection. Snuck in, trespassed. And we have people like Chuck Schumer, the guy that was behind the agriculture provisions of the Amnesty of 86, the guy that was part of the Gang of Eight, or as I prefer to call them, the Eight Gangsters. Schumer, the guy that said, oh, if you sneak into America, you're entitled to be put on the pathway to citizenship. We got so upset when people were trespassing on the Brooklyn Bridge, the Manhattan Bridge, the World Trade Center, that Schumer went public. There's a novelty, Schumer in front of a camera, or many cameras, and saying that the reason there's a problem with trespassing in the New York landmarks is because the punishment does not deter people from doing what they want to do. He made the point that today it's only a one-year maximum felony to trespass on those facilities. And Schumer said, you know, if you want to stop these people from trespassing, easy solution. Change the law from a one-year felony or one-year penalty to a five-year penalty and see to it that when these people are arrested, they are prosecuted and serve years in a jail cell, trespassing will stop. How amazing is that? If you trespassed on America, Chuck Schumer wants to give you citizenship. You've earned citizenship. You snuck in. God bless you. However, if you sneak into the Brooklyn Bridge or the World Trade Center, now we got a whole different problem, and now you need to go away for years. I didn't say it. Chuck Schumer did. So what's going on? Well, I'll tell you what's going on, and this is the same reason, and I wrote about it, it's the same reason that the Republicans went after Obama for his executive action. We all heard this. Didn't we hear them talk about the rule of law and the Constitution, that the president is violating the Constitution, violating his oath of office, violating the rule of law? Now, I got to tell you, for me, the rule of law is significant. I'm sure for many of you it is. But there is a substantial portion of our society that doesn't care about the rule of law. Think back to when you went to school. How many of the people in your classes cheated? Think about how many of your neighbors have radar detectors on their dashboard. How many of your neighbors probably fudge their income taxes? Think about it. Do you think people that have a radar detector on their dashboard or who cheated to get through college or even high school, do you think they care about the rule of law? The people who went out and bought Cliff Notes or some other abbreviated form of a major literary work that was supposed to be required reading? So instead of reading 500 pages, they read 15 or 20 pages and said, oh, this is good enough. Are they abiding by the law? Of course not. Do they know they're not? I suspect so. So do you think these people care about the rule of law? And the answer to me is pretty obvious. No, they don't. Now, there is a more compelling case to be made as to why the president's executive order that he claims to have signed is dangerous. And there's a better argument against it. It's dangerous because it requires giving identity documents to aliens, people who may want to embed themselves in the United States. What they're proposing here violates the 9/11 Commission findings and recommendations. Very compelling argument. See, even people who don't give a darn about the rule of law, when you say to them, well, if these people can sneak in, then they can set up shop in communities around the country, and if they ultimately get their hands on the materials, set off a hell of a bomb, maybe even a nuclear bomb or a dirty bomb. I think that's a fair concern. So what happens? They're here. Schumer's out there ranting and raving. The only thing that people will say on the Republican side is that the president is violating the rule of law. Not the president is undermining national security. Clearly, both are happening. The rule of law is certainly being undermined, And the idea of giving unknown millions of people who snuck into the country an identity document without being able to verify their true name or their country of citizenship or the date they entered the United States would provide ample opportunities for people to sneak into the United States, perhaps with some truly malevolent goals in mind. But we've never heard that from the Republicans. Now, isn't that odd? They want to defeat Obama. They want to go after him. So the Republicans talk about rule of law and Constitution, but don't say things like, well, what the president is doing violates the findings and recommendations of the 9/11 Commission. Why in the world is that the case? Does this make any sense to any of you? Here's what I believe. And I wrote about it. I wrote about this in an article that I wrote for Progressives for Immigration Reform that they published just about a week ago. And what I said is that I believe that they were going after the weakest argument. Not because they don't know better, but because the Republicans want, basically, to have comprehensive reform. They've told us this. John Boehner has told us this. You know, we've got to take care of these people. Orrin Hatch, who's been tough on so many of the issues where it comes to the work visas, he wants those work visas. Bob Goodlatte, chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, wants more work visas. Ted Cruz wants a 500% increase in the number of H-1B high-tech work visas. This is about importing so many foreign workers that we can that they will drive down the wages of American workers. This is exactly what Alan Greenspan called for when he testified before Chuck Schumer's Immigration Subcommittee in the Senate back on April 30th, 2009. He referred to Americans who had skills and education as the privileged elite, whom he claimed were earning a wage premium, that they needed to cut that wage premium to greatly reduce inequality in wages. Inequality between who and whom? Inequality, folks, between the middle class and the poor, not the middle class and the wealthy. And John Oliver and Bill Maher, they all either bought into it or part of the propaganda machine, because they both did segments about income equality. John Oliver, the Brit that appears on HBO, ranted and raved, and, oh, my God, you got Zuckerberg and Gates and all these people making all this money, and these poor middle-class people are struggling. That's right. So what's the point? The point is that Gates and Zuckerberg are behind this push to inundate the United States with hundreds of thousands of high-tech workers. And they're doing it for one reason, folks. Let's be blunt. It's about driving down the wages of American workers. Labor is a commodity. You know, the De Beers Company, the diamond company from Belgium, they are very careful as to how many diamonds they put into the marketplace on any given day, any given year, because they know that if you flooded the market with diamonds, it would become almost worthless. By controlling the supply, they can control the price. You know, it's about supply and demand. So you do the commercials, you amp up the demand, you control the supply, and now you're good to go. If you can increase the supply of a commodity drastically, you will drive down the price. When the commodity is relatively rare, the price goes up. When it's plentiful, the price goes down. Just the way it is, whether it's gasoline, whether it's water, whether it's a teacher's salary. That's how it works, supply and demand. So we have a situation where the Republicans aren't going after the threat to national security, which first and foremost is what Obama's plan is, the threat to national security. Giving people identity documents without being able to verify their names is dangerous. Yet not a word. You know why there's no words about that? Because it fits nicely with the agenda of the Republicans. So on the one hand, they make these great statements, oh, this is a terrible situation. We've got to go out there and fix this broken immigration system. And, you know, what Obama's doing is awful. But on the other hand, they turn around and say, oh, we need to bring in lots more high-tech workers. And that's what the Democrats want also. So suddenly, we really have a point of agreement that they won't admit is a point of agreement. Everybody except the average American who's trying to survive wants to flood the labor market with lots more foreign workers. Fox and Friends this morning made an interesting point. They said that since 2007, this is Fox and Friends, I didn't do the research, but it sounds right. Since 2007, almost every new job that was created went to either illegal aliens or the newly arrived immigrants who are here legally. So understand what that means. This is precisely the sort of thing that I've been screaming about for the longest time. You've got American workers running up a down escalator that's picking up speed. Running up a down escalator, and it's futile. Because hard as they try, they can't keep up with that escalator that keeps on getting steeper and steeper and steeper and picking up speed. So now the average American worker is running his or her ass ragged, trying to keep up with the onslaught of foreign competition that will work for less money, eating our own middle class. And you know, this economic food chain is really significant. If you clean out the nutrients that the plants use to subsist in the bottom of the ocean, and you kill off the plants, there's a good chance you will kill off the fish that eat the plants and kill off the other fish that eat that first group of fish and so forth. There's a chain there's a life cycle here, you know. There's a food chain here. But no one seems to get it. Somehow they think that the middle class is expendable, and if we destroy the middle class, that we can still go on somehow. And it doesn't work that way. You have got to understand that a middle class, a big middle class, is an essential part of a democracy, of a democratic republic. Get rid of the middle class, and where are you? You suddenly find yourself in a totalitarian situation. And most people don't realize that. They've bought into the arguments. They've bought into the nonsense. Oh, this is about Latinos. This is about being a nativist. This is about being anything and everything except a good American, which is why I've consistently made the point, that I don't care what party politicians are from. I don't care if they're with the Hopping Kangaroo Party. Do you stand with America? Do you stand with Americans? In fact, when I was with Jeff Sessions, Senator Sessions from Alabama, and Louie Gohmert from Texas, and John Fleming, another member of Congress, and this huge audience, we had a reporter from the Wall Street Journal, and we had an economist talk about how the border has solved itself, nothing to worry about, nothing to see here, folks, keep on moving, as the cops like to say, as they put the chalk outline around the victim of some heinous crime. Nothing to see here, folks, but we'll keep an eye on things for you. Baloney. Baloney. I will tell you this, and I want you to understand that I say this in the bottom of my heart and with total clarity. The situation that we find ourselves in today is a very dangerous, deadly situation. The people that we are dealing with in politics don't care about the well-being of America or Americans. I mean, yeah, there are a couple of exceptions. My friend Lou Barletta, Senator Jeff Sessions, Louie Gohmert, we can rattle them off, Steve King. They worry about Americans. But most of these characters that we elect could care less. They don't give a darn. All they want is to flood the labor market so they can get more work for less money. That's what they want. More work, or rather less work, more money. So how do you do it? Their body is like a well-oiled machine. They're up there every morning doing push-ups and sit-ups and whatever else they have to do to be in decent condition. But meanwhile, what's going on? Meanwhile, the middle class is falling apart. And it falls apart even as Obama was thanking the Russians for sending us their people to help the United States around this crisis that was made of the Republican Party of the United States of America. This is nuts. This is absolutely nuts. So if you go to Progressives for Immigration Reform, on December 15th, they posted my article, Obama's Executive Action on Immigration Will Irrevocably Undermine National Security and the U.S. Economy. It has to screw us up. Because if you replace American workers with foreign workers, and if the goal of the foreign workers is to send money out of the country, and we're talking about anywhere from $125 to $200 billion, that's the visible money, God knows how much money basically is smuggled out of the United States, never seen again. But understand what's happening. These folks come in, they sit down at the computer, they try to do a good job, and they're incapable of doing it, not because they're dumb, but because they've never been given the training. This is what we need to go after. We need to make people understand the dangers that we're facing, because there is no integrity to the immigration system. Absolutely no integrity. And we've done story after story. Jerry Casale was an adjudications officer for immigration at headquarters in Washington, and he verified what I knew. But I wanted my audience to know about this so that it's not just Mike Cutler running his mouth. Applications for various immigration benefits, the Dreamers, political asylum, whatever, can be approved within minutes. A denial can take hours. So where is the prejudice in that system? Clearly, the system pushes the adjudications officers in the direction of approving the applications. Not a good situation. And I will tell you that a big part of our problem, folks, are our neighbors. People who may well be frustrated and angry the way we all are, but who do nothing about it, who never make a phone call, who never write a snail mail or an email or a postcard. People who don't talk to their neighbors and say, I'm frustrated and I'm disgusted. And I want to know why not. What in the world is so wrong about standing up and saying, you know what, the way our government is doing business, we have a serious problem. And the problem that we have is that there's no integrity to this process whereby we're going to give people identity documents. We're going to give people the authority to remain in the United States. But under the laws of the United States, there's no real justification for doing either of those things. How in the world does that make us safer or stronger or guarantee our future? It's America's middle class that is the heart and soul of America. The middle class, the class caught in the middle. That is where the action is, folks. What made America different from all the other countries in the world, going back nearly 100 years ago, it was that we had an upwardly mobile, vibrant, and successful middle class. People who went to Harvard and Yale and Princeton and came back fired up and went to work for one of those other universities as a lecturer. So we have a brain drain in the United States. We have people coming to America to take the jobs Americans desperately need, but are being locked out of those jobs with their own government. This is impossible to believe, to be honest with you. And so now the question is, what are you willing to do about it? I've probably got your motor running and you're saying, wow, look at what these people are doing to us. So my question is, and what are you going to do about it? Complain to Bob down the block or Susan, you know, around the corner? Or get hold of other protesters and go to Washington, go to the state capitol, go to City Hall where you live and say enough is enough is enough. You have members of Congress licking their chops, salivating at the prospect of hiring people who came to their attention from other countries. Why in the world would you want to have that emphasis on bringing in foreign workers when Americans are unemployed or underemployed? It is such a betrayal of the American dream. And we're told, well, we have to bring in exceptional people. And, you know, it was so remarkable because when I was in Florida with the David Horowitz Freedom Center, Jeff Sessions is one of the people there. And on Sunday morning, they had a Wall Street Journal reporter and an economist speak, and they're both trying to convince everybody that the border is secure. It's not. That everything is under control. It's not. And that, you know, all we got to do now is open up our country to hundreds of thousands of high-tech workers who only want to come here and start companies and hire Americans. It's nonsense, folks. This is about the willful destruction of the American middle class by importing the competition that's going to do us in. This is something that's impossible to comprehend unless you sit here and go over the facts over a significant period of time and ask yourself, what in the world is going on? And I will tell you what's going on. All these people involved with immigration and see in the immigration laws and our borders an impediment to their wealth. I was actually told that by a gentleman from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. The guy actually testified at a hearing before the Indiana State Senate in one case, and another case, it was a congressional hearing where I testified. And in both cases, we had people from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, not the local Chamber of Commerce. Many of the local chambers are excellent. When I think about Pennsylvania, there's a wonderful chamber there. They've invited me to speak a couple of times on their television program. But the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, this is what they want. And in fact, in Indiana, the one guy stood up and said, I'm going to tell you something that no one else has the guts to tell you. We need every kind of immigrant imaginable and basically an unlimited supply, legal, illegal, don't care, doesn't matter, we want them. Do you know why? Because they're importing consumers for their junk, and they're importing cheap labor that can undermine American workers, because Americans are actually expecting a living wage when they go to work. What a novel thought. If you're a parent, folks, you cannot be a good, successful parent unless you're involved in the political process. You know, responsible people, when they have children, the mother is very careful about not smoking and don't drink coffee and don't drink alcoholic beverages and don't do this and don't do that. And goodness gracious, they kind of turn their bodies over to a doctor and say to the doctor, let's get through this so that the baby has the best shot possible, which is very wonderful, very altruistic, very decent. And then at some point, there's an incident where the baby knocks something over and it's, oh my gosh, you know. But think of how we hover over these children who give them every opportunity. But think of how our government is betraying them and us and our country. People coming to this country and being treated royally even when they violate the laws. We have a lawful inspections process. We employ over 20,000 people at ports of entry, and their job is to keep the order and make certain that the elected representatives get the material that we hand out, that they don't just throw it in the circular file. What could be fairer than that? And the answer is absolutely nothing can be. This is something that everybody should be proud of, to go out there and do a really great job to try to do the right thing. And yet, it's increasingly impossible. When Fox News can talk about how all the new jobs are going to the foreign nationals and not to Americans, in fact, Americans are continuing to lose their jobs, where is that going to leave America in 10 years, in 20 years, in 30 years? And our adversaries are patient. They can wait 30 or 40 or 50 years until they get the right panel in front of them, and then they'll have fun. We really need to think about how we're treating our kids and what we should be doing for them, not what we could be doing for them. It's an important issue. And it's one you're not going to hear from either party, and it's one you're not going to hear in the mainstream media. The mainstream media comes out with some pretty amazing statements. I don't know if you pay attention, but I'm going to say a couple of things here, and I bet you this resonates. You hear the stories about how, oh, Congress is on recess. They're going home, those lazy bums. We've all seen the coverage. Congress is lazy. They're leaving town. Is that lazy, folks, or are they trying to create an opportunity so that we can go out there and talk to these populations, to these people from other countries as the population continues to soar? So they tell the person, okay, you can stay here, but, you know, under our conditions, and the conditions aren't good. So we undermine the American worker and the American worker's family. We're undermining national security, and we're being sung this lullaby that, oh, we just don't have enough highly qualified workers in America, and on it goes. And we and our children and their children will pay the price. We need to be strong in our commitment, and we need to approach these elected politicians and make them accountable for doing something truly heinous that nobody could have believed. And yet this is what passes for business as usual. Really and truly, folks, we have a new year coming up, and what I really want all of you to do is to make it your New Year's resolution that you will get involved with politics, that you will reach out to your senators, to your member of Congress, to your mayors, your governors, and make it clear that we are not as dumb as they hoped we are, that we are on to them, that we understand what this game is about, that we understand that they want to flood this play area with students from that school, and then when the wages go down and more Americans are out of work, so be it. We need to stop them. We really need to stop them, because when people understand what's really at stake, I think the whole thing changes. But that, again, is why, in my judgment, you're not hearing anything about national security when the Republicans talk about comprehensive reform. All you're hearing about is the president is violating rule of law. And there have been a succession of articles, and they're all pointing to the same terrible situation. The Republicans want to hire up as many aliens as possible by bringing them in with visas. And they keep talking purely about illegal aliens and the Mexican border. They ignore all the other ways aliens enter the United States, stowing away on ships, running the Canadian border, or being admitted at ports of entry and international airports in just about every state in the nation. That's really what's needed. We need to have a system that has integrity so that we don't give out visas and passports and travel documents to people who shouldn't be here, who are here to supplant American workers. That's something that we need to push back against, folks, because if we don't push back, we too will find our jobs hanging by a thread. We really and truly need to get them to understand that we are onto them, that we know what's true and we know what's not true. And certainly what these politicians are pushing for is not true. So what we really need to do then is to devise a strategy to get with as many of our fellow Americans, have those conversations. You know, we've been raised on this notion that in polite society, in polite company, we shouldn't be discussing religion and we shouldn't be discussing politics. Well, religion, I agree, because whether or not a person even has a relationship with God, or what religion he or she may subscribe to, that's very personal, and no one else needs to know that. But politics? Folks, we have become so shy about having a conversation about politics in America today. I don't care what people tell us about how we have the freedom of speech. Try exercising it sometimes and see what happens. But again, this is, I believe, in part, the result of a failing by we the people to routinely hold these conversations and demand that our universities, which are supposed to be bastions of a free exchange of ideas, supposed to be a bastion of First Amendment rights, of communications and speaking freedoms, has gone in the opposite direction. College campuses are very much like the parade ground at a military base, where everybody's expected to march lockstep to the music being played. That music is not good music. The consequences can be extremely serious. And all that stands between America and this catastrophe are the citizens of this country. There are 545 members of the House of Representatives and the United States Senate. And there's well over 300 million of us. I think we've got them outnumbered. We have got to be adamant, because you know when Congress reconvenes in January, one of the items high on that list, given strong priority, is let's do comprehensive immigration reform. Because they are hell-bent on driving down wages. And I really believe that they're convinced that if there's a terrorist attack, it won't be in Los Angeles. I think that's naive beyond words. But unfortunately, there are a lot of people that believe it, and they think that they can get away with this nonsense because they're motivated by greed. They just want cheap labor and bigger earning statements at the end of the month. So we have to be able to show them that they're wrong. We have to be able to show them that we're on to them. This is a very dangerous era. and for the president to talk about giving millions of illegal aliens an identity document without an interview, and now Mayor de Blasio in New York in the wake of all these demonstrations, and of course de Blasio meets with the demonstrators. I hope he spends as much time with the police officers and others in this country, in this city. But de Blasio is at it, because de Blasio, I believe it's within the next couple of weeks, is going to be giving identity documents to illegal aliens so that they won't feel out of place. They should feel out of place. They don't belong here. They broke in. They came by violating our laws. And when we hear that, well, they're children, we don't know that, because under this program, an alien who's up to 31 years of age can apply, and all they have to say, and here's the magic word, I was brought here by my parents before I was 16. And wham, they're in like Flint. Just like that, they're in. This is an obscenity. It's a twisting of the Constitution. It's a twisting of Abe Lincoln's idea that America was the country of the people, by the people, and for the people, not the corporations, folks. So your homework assignment, should you decide to accept it, is to become involved politically this year. Really and truly send a clear and unequivocal message to the people who play pretend at being your representative, and make sure they understand that they're supposed to be our representatives. And if they can't live up to that, then they need to go. The stakes are way too high. The stakes are way too high that we are bringing in competition for American workers who can't find work. We're bringing in criminals, and with them come narcotics. And we're potentially bringing in terrorists as well. What on earth is it going to take for our country to wake up and smell the coffee, as the saying goes? And I believe that it's nothing less than having as many of our American citizens out there getting their message heard, making certain that everybody understands that this nonsense that the other side spews about how this is about nativism and being against people of a particular ethnicity is a bald-faced lie. And that's something that we really need to get across, and we need to do it soon. And if you listen to Jeff Sessions in that panel discussion, go to the David Horowitz Freedom Center, and that video is posted with the title Immigration Wars. I couldn't imagine a more appropriate title. And you listen to Jeff Sessions talk about the 18,000 Americans just laid off in Silicon Valley. And you listen to Jeff Sessions say, well, you know, this won't be in the video, but it was in part of what he said on Sunday morning when we had to deal with this reporter from the Wall Street Journal and an economist. And Sessions was very clear. He said, look, you're saying that these are exceptional people. By definition, 100,000 people are not exceptional. Exceptional? You know, and Sessions was right, because he basically said, look, if you have a handful of highly skilled, brilliant people who have organizational skills and want to start companies, certainly we want them. Certainly we want them. Send them down. We'll take them immediately. But when people come into the United States and violate our borders and violate our laws for personal gain, they need to pay a price for that, because they are undermining our national security. You know, it was a lot simpler when the Democrats were really Democrats, when they looked out for working Americans, union members and plumbers and civil servants. The Democratic Party has gotten lost in the weeds, and so has the Republican Party. And it's time we brought them back to earth. It's time we put them in line and said, this is what we really need to have done. There's nothing unreasonable about it. My deposition became a major factor in the Supreme Court case involving Arizona's immigration law, SB 1070. Because what really has to happen is that the American people need to get to the point of understanding that those immigration laws were designed to protect innocent lives and the jobs of Americans. And when you have wealthy people who can only think about how much more money they can shovel into their bank accounts, God only knows that if perhaps, immigration had the majority number of congressional members right now, maybe we could do things in a completely different way. But that's something that we will have to find out over time, because right now we really have our back to the wall. Well, this being the holiday, I'm going to cut the program a bit short this evening, but I do want to wish everybody out there who celebrates Hanukkah a very happy Hanukkah. I want to wish our friends who celebrate Christmas a very Merry Christmas. I want to wish everybody a happy, healthy New Year. I expect to be back here again next Friday at the same time. But between now and then, what I really would like for you to do, folks, is go to my websites, go to capsweb.org in particular, because I'm so happy that they put this article out there. Go to Progressives for Immigration Reform, Front Page Magazine, and Social Contract. Who am I leaving out? American Currency at the Washington Times. Take the articles and forward them to as many people as possible. And tell them, look, you have a responsibility, not only to yourself, but to your children. And not only to your children, but to your grandchildren. Because we are headed the wrong way in a one-way street. If we destroy the middle class, we will be destroying the heart and soul of America and the American dream, which is one of the reasons why it is so galling that the sneakers I just bought are you know, these athletic shoes that are supposed to make sense for everybody. You know, we're going to build the best products in America, and they're worried where the shoes are manufactured. I know I went to the store, and we were all looking to see, what's the label? Was it made here? Was it made there? And no one is asking, where did the workers come from? Where are the people that are working in the factories coming from? Because if you look at what the story now is, almost all the new jobs right now are going to either illegal aliens, according to Fox News, and they were quoting some studies this morning, or the newly arrived immigrants. So we go to the store and we try to be dutiful and we say, well, we're going to buy products that are made in America. Where's that made in USA sticker? And then you realize it doesn't much matter most of the time, because even when products are made in the United States, it's not Americans making the products. This is something that's got to stop. We have got to be very clear when we talk to our elected representatives that what they need to do is make certain that Americans get the first shot at the jobs, whether it's the guy working in the factory to make those shoes or the people putting together the high-tech equipment, the telephones and the electronic equipment. Make certain that the jobs, especially the middle-class jobs, the high-tech jobs, the STEM jobs, go to Americans. It's ridiculous for America to be importing more foreign workers when Americans can't find work. It's ridiculous that we have almost 100 million unemployed Americans or underemployed Americans, and yet we're being told by politicians from both parties that we need to import more foreign workers. This is silly. It's dangerous for our country. It's dangerous for the well-being of our children. We are the cause of our own problems by not making certain that our elected representatives truly represent us. So that's really what I want all of you to do, is to go to the websites that I write for. Look at these articles. Please take to heart the message there. Look at how things are working in a way that makes no sense to anybody but the politicians who are getting the campaign contributions. And look at the dangers that this imposes to national security. The idea that we have foreign nationals coming into this country, getting identity documents, and we don't even know who they are. That has to stop. We had a wake-up call, by the way, before I sign off. There was a wake-up call that we should have had with this nexus between political asylum and terrorism. Look what just happened in Australia. You had an individual from Iran get political asylum, and then he took hostages in a coffee shop. I'm a big fan of political asylum, but please understand something, folks. It's almost impossible to properly vet somebody from a country when they require or they request political asylum, because you can't go into most of those countries and get straight answers about who these people are. Usually the aliens who come from countries that seek political asylum are coming from countries that we do not have a great relationship with. And we're not even paying attention to the warning signs. For example, the Tsarnaev family. The Tsarnaev brothers, of course, involved with the Boston terror attack April 15th of last year. And remarkably, they claimed credible fear so they could stay in the United States. And as soon as we gave them lawful status, what do? They went home. That was a warning sign that they lied. Now, you know, it could be understood that there were so many people that got applications approved that year that maybe we didn't screen them that well. But after the Boston attack, and one of the brothers is dead, the other one is in jail facing the potential of the death penalty, why the rest of the family wasn't brought in is impossible to understand. It was only a couple of months ago that their sister was arrested for threatening to blow up her ex-boyfriend. Why in the world was she out there and not in custody facing charges for perhaps committing immigration fraud when they all claimed political asylum and promptly went back to Russia after they were given lawful status? This isn't rocket science. It's not rocket science. It's common sense. It's a no-brainer, you would think. We need to make certain that Americans get the jobs. We need to make certain that the immigration system has integrity. And all of those factors aren't happening now. But what we are hearing are all these excuses why we have an insatiable appetite for more foreign workers, even as more Americans are losing their jobs, losing their incomes, and falling from middle-class standards to living below the poverty line. Not rocket science, but it's about having a strong moral compass. And quite frankly, folks, it's that moral compass that we're lacking today. Anyway, I want to thank all of you for joining me for this slightly abbreviated edition of the Michael Cutler Hour. I hope that you will join me again next week at the same time, same place right here. And we will go forward, but hopefully what you will do is between now and the beginning of the new year, make it your New Year's resolution to be politically involved and to get as many of your friends and neighbors involved. Get them interested. Because even if you listen to my program and it gets your motor running, if we do nothing with the knowledge that you're getting, then we're wasting our time. What we really need to do is make the politicians accountable. And it's both sides of the aisle. It's not as though one side is good and one side is bad. We're dealing with bad and worse, and I'm not sure which one is bad and which one is worse. So that's why I'm counting on you to do what's necessary, because as I always like to point out, democracy is not a spectator sport. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody. See you next week.